chapter 5, talking about the Ten Commandments. We're on the fourth commandment, dealing with the Sabbath. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, 12 through 15. As we've looked at here at the commandments, starting there in verse 6, so basically the section here in Deuteronomy has to do with chapter 5, verses 6 through 21, the Ten Commandments. All right, we looked there in verse 6 and 7, rather, dealing with singularity of God, no other God but the Lord, Lord thy God. Then the exclusivity of him as well in verses 8 and 9. I know these are overlapping here. I think there's a specific nuance on both of these. He is the Lord, and there is to be none other. He's the only Lord. So we have that. And then not profaning his name, verse 11. so I had several emails as well on the message on this, said how they, people indicated how they appreciate that from different places, been listening to our messages. So, but anyway, this is the Word of God we're trying to deal with here. Now tonight, we're dealing with the Sabbath. so let me read the verses here, 12 through 15. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates, for thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence, and brought a mighty through a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. Help us to have a biblical understanding of the Scripture here, and be able to make the application in our Christian life, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the Sabbath... word Sabbath here shows up 108 times in the Old Testament, 68 times in the New Testament, two different words here, but this is related to the word seven, but it has to do with rest, to be sure. The first reference to this is found in Exodus chapter 16, and... there in 16:23, we have the reference here. Let's see. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So here, first reference to Sabbath. And the inference here is that they weren't to bake on the Sabbath. This goes along with Exodus chapter 35, verse 3, where on the Sabbath they were not to kindle a fire. They weren't to kindle a fire to prepare food from a fire on the Sabbath. So in other words, the food preparation had to be done before this. This is where the Jews today get the idea of, some of the Orthodox anyway, of not being involved in having any fire on the Sabbath. And so some don't drive because they think when turning the key, the ignition, it lights a fire to the spark plug, and so they won't drive. I mean, they take this very literally here. when we were over in Israel, they have the Sabbat elevators. So these are the elevators that Jews can go up and down on the Sabbath, where the elevator stops at every floor, and it constantly goes up and constantly goes down. And so they never have to push a button to order the elevator to that floor, because it's just going up and down constantly. So it's just a long process. So our host said make sure you don't get stuck on a Sabbath elevator. You may be late to places. But anyway, this is part of their thinking on that. So even today, some of the Orthodox take some of these verses so literally to this extent. Now, of course, if you look back here, the foundation of all this is back in Genesis chapter 1, and we have the 6 days of creation that the Lord created here. Then we see in chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so, of course, he didn't rest because he's tired, but he's teaching a theological message here for the Jews and so on. So if he finished creating the first week ended on a Saturday, what was the first day of creation? Been Sunday. First day of creation would have been Sunday. And if the sphere of water was darkened and the Lord then called for light, we would and the Jews then say that the day begins at 6 p.m., which is dark, and then goes all the way around to the morning when it now is light, then we would conclude that creation started at 6 p.m. on Sunday. But anyway, that's about 6,000 years ago. All right, so, but getting back to our passage here, in the passage, we have two imperatives here. Verse 12, keep, and verse 15, remember. Keep and remember. So I've organized this around two headings here, recognition of the Sabbath, and then the remembrance about the Sabbath. Now, as we see here in verse 12, it says, keep, it's imperative, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Sanctify means to set it apart. So it's a day set apart, not for work, but a day for service and worship of the Lord. So sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Now, he commanded them back in Exodus 20. So remember, Exodus 20 was at the beginning of their 40-year journey. Now we're at the end of the 40-year journey. But what he commanded back in Exodus 20 still holds at this point. Still holds at this point. Now, let's look here in Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15. And Exodus 15 and verse 16. All right, so here is a theme verse here. Exodus 15, 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. All right, so the Lord's deliverance of the Jews from Egypt was the time when he began a new nation, He purchased the nation. Earlier in verse 13, he has redeemed the nation. So he began the nation when he had delivered them from Egypt, and they went into the wilderness. That's when the nation began. All right. Then in chapter 19 of Exodus, the Lord indicates here, this is 3 months into their Exodus wandering, 19:1. So I've read this numerous times, but he says in verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will keep my if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So here's where he established the nation. Now, establishing the nation, he gave them a day of worship. A day of worship. Now, this fits into our context here. And, of course, the people said in verse 8, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. All right? And then later on, chapter 24, he ratifies the new covenant on the basis of them saying, we will obey, and so on. Now, in Deuteronomy, let's now look at chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and verse 6, 32:6. Here, statements made, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people, and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee, hath he not made thee and established thee? So here's a verse that indicates that he has established them as a nation. So here we're at the end of the 40 years now. So in the 40 years that they've had, they were to worship him on the Sabbath. And so, and that's because they became a new nation with a new day of worship, or a day of worship. Back when they were in Egypt, as Deuteronomy goes on to say here, Deuteronomy 14, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do any work, and so on. He goes through the listing there. And this is because when they were back in Egypt, did they have a day of rest? No, they didn't have a day of rest. Look back there in Exodus chapter 1 now, Exodus chapter 1. So we're trying to establish some things here that will make some principal points. But Exodus chapter 1, if you recall, when they're in Egypt, we pick this up in verse 11, Exodus 1:11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. So this is after Joseph dies and a new king and so on. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were aggrieved because the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All the service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. So, did they get a day off from work? No, they didn't get any days off. They worked 7 days a week. 7 days a week. So, now that they're a new nation, the Lord is giving them a day of rest. Day of rest. That's the Sabbath. And so, that's what Moses is trying to explain here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. All right, so they had a day of rest. Now, the day of rest was for not only the people, but also for the animals, for the cattle and so on. They all had a day of rest. And so this is the Lord's plan. Now in Hebrews, of course, we see there's a spiritual rest as well. So the Jews were to have a physical rest, but this will always be pointing towards a spiritual rest. So there in Hebrews chapter 4, we have reference to this. And so he mentions their rest there in chapter 4 and various verses here. For instance, in verses 8 and 9, for if Jesus, or Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another rest? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people. So this is an unusual word that Paul uses here, a Sabbath rest. And so this talks about spiritual rest as well. So the rest that they were receive here was not only a physical rest, but a spiritual rest. All right, so they needed to recognize, first of all, or keep the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath, and this was their day of resting as they went into the land. So not only in the wilderness, but also in to the promised land. So the Lord made told the purpose. They were to sanctify or set apart this as a day of worship. And the provision he gave was for everyone to have a physical rest as well as a spiritual rest. So here we have purpose and provision given in these various verses. So for the new nation here, they had a day of rest. Now we can jump forward here in the New Testament, and we can look here in Acts chapter 2, for instance. Acts chapter 2. Scripture says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." So here the church is meeting in the upper room, about 120. This is on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is one of the national holidays, and so many, many Jews, thousands if not millions, were going into Jerusalem on a Pentecost, and so the Lord wanted to have a public object lesson here. And so here is the great Pentecost episode that we find here in Acts chapter 2. The Pentecost means 50 days. So the Jews counted by sevens. Every seven was a week. And so we have 7 times 7 is 49 days. So the 50th day was not a Saturday, it was a Sunday. So Pentecost happened on Sunday. And in Acts chapter 2, here's the public demonstration that the Lord now has a new people. Just like in the Old Testament, he had a new nation, the nation of Israel. Now he has a new people, publicly demonstrated on Pentecost, called Christians, and they now have, or we now have, a new day of rest. We've got Sunday, not Saturday. So basically, Pentecost was a public demonstration. Now, this is not when the church was started. It's already been started. But here's the public authentication of the local church meeting already in the upper room, 120 Baptists meeting prior to Pentecost. But now it's a public authentication. So the Lord was saying basically to the Jews who were coming to Jerusalem, "I've got something new now, you Jews who are Christians and you Gentiles who are Christians. I've got something new for you. Since you're going to be a new people now as Christians, and the newness is, I've got a new day for you. That's Sunday. I've got a new institution for you. That's not the temple, it's the local church. And I've got a new sacrificial system for you. It's no longer animals, it's the Lord's sacrifice." So we have this newness plan that we have here. The Lord gives a new people, Christians. He gives Christians this. Just like he gave the Jews their day, now, and they became a nation. Now he gives Christians a new day. Now they're not, so we're not talking about Christian nation here. And we're not talking in terms of some sort of a universal church, but we're talking about Christians as a new people. And this is what Ephesians brings out. Now, Christians are one. There no longer are there Jews and Gentiles who are Christians. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're a Christian. That's what Ephesians brings out. So that's the newness of all that. And so we have parallels here. A new people. In Exodus chapter 14, 15, 20, a new people here, a new day of worship, or a day of worship. In Acts chapter 2, a new people with a new day of worship. So we see the parallels here. Parallels, all right? Now, going back to our passage again, Deuteronomy chapter 5. We have not only the recognition of the Sabbath, but now the remembrance of the Sabbath. So in verse 15, the Lord says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt." All right, so the point I've already brought out. As they were servants in the land of Egypt, they had no day of rest. They worked 7 days a week. So now he's saying, you make sure your servants have a day, your animals have a day of rest, and so on. And he goes on saying, verse 15, "And that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." So very clearly, in a miraculous way, he took them through the Red Sea. "Therefore the Lord thy God command thee to keep the Sabbath day." All right, so here is the instructions that they were to abide by, keep and remember. Recognize the Sabbath and have a remembrance about the Sabbath day. All right, now, for the Christian, our day of honoring the Lord is the first day of the week. And so that's based on the Lord's resurrection. He's resurrected on the first day of the week, on Sunday. We have several verses that I want to turn to here. Matthew chapter 28, for instance. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene." So now we're first day of the week. And when the disciples get there to the tomb, they find out that the Lord is already resurrected earlier on the first day of the week. Also in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Scripture says, verse 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." So the Lord had already resurrected on the first day of the week. Now this is when the sun's starting to rise, but still dark, so it's at dawn at this period. But he's no longer there, so he resurrected on the first day of the week. And so believers honor the first day of the week, and that's what Acts chapter 2 is bearing out. The first day of the week, the Pentecost, Sunday, and the resurrection of the Lord. Now Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, for instance, he says concerning the collection, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now remember, he's taking a collection for the Jews, so he's going around the Gentile churches taking a collection for Jews. And he says that in verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So Paul was going to show up in Corinth on a Sunday to pick up the special offering to the Jews. And so hopefully the Christians would be meeting on Sunday. They're meeting on Saturday. He'd miss them. So obviously, you know, he's going to meet them on Sunday, first day of the week, to pick up the collections as they laid by in store. Laid by in store, so they were storing them in what? What local church, which I believe is a storehouse. Storehouse. So we have this pattern going on. Sunday is the day of the week that the Jews were Christians, we Christians, Jew or Gentile, is to are to worship the Lord. Now, the Sabbath of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath is not promoted in the New Testament as a responsibility because it's a ceremonial part of the law. So, if you recall, there in Ephesians chapter 2. So remember what happened on the cross. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that dealing with Christ here in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh on the cross, the enmity or the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. One new man here is the Christian. One new man, and so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, that's the local church, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So when Christ died on the cross, the ceremonial laws ceased. No more animal sacrifices, no more Sabbath worship, no more kosher diets. All these things came to an end. However, the moral aspect of the law, the moral aspect, so remember there's social, ceremonial, and moral, the moral aspect of law continues on. So the Ten Commandments, nine, relate to the moral aspect of the law, which continues on in any dispensation. But the keeping of the Sabbath was ceremonial, so it ceased of the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, there are several listings of portions of the Ten Commandments, but the Sabbath is never listed as one of the ongoing commandments of the Ten Commandments. So we can look at the Lord's Day is the day of worship for Christians, both seeing there's no argument for Sabbath keeping in the New Testament, but there is an argument for Sunday keeping in the New Testament. All right, now, other passages would bear this out as well. Let's look, for instance, in Acts chapter 20. Let's see. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Paul shows up here at Troas. So in Acts 20, verse 7, it says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." All right, so disciples are breaking bread. This is a technical term for Lord's Supper. On what day? First day of the week. So Paul searched out for churches on Sunday, and he found one at Troas, and they were having the Lord's Supper. First day of the week, disciples came together. And so here we see this pattern, worshiping on Sunday. Now, the Sunday worship, then, is God's plan for Christians. So I'm going to try and get some parameters here. And so in giving these parameters, I don't want us to get stuck on one parameter to the exclusion of the other. All right? For instance, let's look here in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. All right, so what Paul is saying here in Colossians chapter 2, and he's also talking about the work of Christ on the cross, nailing the ordinances and so on to the cross. He says in verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in the respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ." So here he didn't want the Gentile Colossians to be brought to lose their liberty by the Jews coming in saying, "You've got to worship on Saturday, Sabbath," and so on. And so clearly they didn't have to. concerning the Sabbath, if you look here in Mark. Let's look here in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. The Lord indicates, relative to the Sabbath, that his disciples ate bread, or corn rather, on the Sabbath. You see that at tail end of chapter 2 of Mark. And so he says here in verse 27, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So, although the Sabbath was going on and so on, the Lord recognized the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for the man, to help the man out, help the man and rest and so on here. Now, in the millennium, Sabbath worship is going to continue again. Let's look here in Ezekiel chapter 46. Ezekiel chapter 46, several verses, Ezekiel 46. But this is dealing with the millennial setting here. And in the millennium, verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the six working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened," and so on. So in the millennium, things are going to go back to worshiping the Lord in Jerusalem and on the Sabbath rather than on Sunday, although this doesn't undermine the resurrection in any sense at all. Now, with regard to Sunday worship, so we meet on Sunday so that we can honor the Lord because, number one, I believe it's required because of Pentecost. This is our new day of worship, the Lord. And secondly, it represents the Lord's resurrection. He's resurrected on Sunday, not on Saturday. So we meet on Sunday. As I mentioned to you before, the brethren over there in Dubai, they try to honor the Sunday as well, but they have to meet at 8 o'clock at night when they get off of work, and they have to work a full day. So, in the Muslim lands, their weekend is Friday and Saturday, and Sunday is the first day of their work week going through Thursday. So, work week is Sunday to Thursday. So, the Christians over there, they can't go to church during the day, but they go after they get off work, and they go in the evening. And then quite often, they're there till midnight. Usually, they have food afterwards, and they fellowship and so on. So sometimes these their services can last from 8 to midnight on a work night. They've got children, have to go to work, and so on, but they're willing to do this, because otherwise, they wouldn't be meeting on the Lord's Day. So if we think, well, if we couldn't meet on Sundays like we do now, but we had to wait till 8 o'clock at night, and then maybe the service would go 2 or 3 hours because they want to get in Sunday school, preaching services. That's going to take 3 hours, fellowship, food, and so on. If we went that route, would that hinder you from coming to church? Would that hinder you? You say, "Well, that's pretty much too much of a commitment. I got to get up the next day. In fact, I've worked all day. Then I got to get up the next day." Well, you know, these are things for us to check out. It's also, we need to appreciate the freedoms we do have thus far and take advantage of them while we have them. Amen. Take advantage of them while we have them. Now, in fundamentalism even undermined the idea of Sunday worship to the extent that Protestantism talks about the Christian Sabbath, that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. No, Sunday's not the Christian Sabbath. Not the Christian Sabbath. So that's a Protestant idea. So Protestants and Covenant theologians, Reformed especially, see we have an Old Testament church, we have a New Testament church. In the Old Testament church, there was Saturday Sabbath. In the New Testament church, there is the Christian Sabbath, and so on. They're confusing these things. I mentioned this before, but I had a professor in seminary who said he had a professor who was in fundamentalism and so on, but he said he was proud of the fact that he took a morning newspaper. So I don't know who takes morning newspaper now, but took a morning newspaper on Sunday, and back in those days, you had the funnies and the sports and big ads and all these things. So he But he said, he's proud of this, but I didn't look at that Sunday newspaper till midnight on Sunday because I wanted to honor the Christian Sabbath. Well, that's a form of legalism here. Form of legalism on the one hand. On the other hand, we do need to work our schedules out so that we can be in the house of God and hear regular preaching. So as long as we can, we're going to meet on Sunday. We're going to have our services here. So folks need to try to work their schedule out to be here on church on Sunday. And this is when the Word of God is going to be taught. And this honors the Lord, honors the resurrection, and so on. Now, the for various reasons. So, in the case of those in Dubai, they did have a job. So, now fundamentalism has said. So here's where I'm trying to deal with both of these. Fundamentalism said, if you have a job on Sunday, you're sinning against the Lord. You cannot work on Sunday if you're a Christian. Well, then talk to the Christians in Dubai on that. See, in other words, quite often we Americans, we Gentile Americans, try to Americanize the Bible and fundamentalize the Bible when that's not the case. Now, on the other hand, you need to so schedule your life so that you can be in the house of God on Sunday.
Amen.
All right? You understand what I'm saying? So, schedule your life so you can be here. And obviously, pastors like the people show up. This is where you're going to hear the Word of God and so on. This is where you have an opportunity to serve the Lord. He meets here regularly, and so we want to honor him. Now, the my concern, as other pastors' concerns, are that if we don't make Sunday, our church worship, as it falls on Sunday, if we don't make this a priority in our life, then we're going to let other things push it out. And so this is a concern that I have and other pastors have as well. That, I've said this before, but there are 52 Sundays in a year, and Satan has at least 53 reasons to miss church. And what bothers me and other pastors as well is when people say, well, I work on Monday, so sometimes if I'm not feeling good over the weekend, I'm going to stay home on Sunday because I've got to go to work. What's driving that? Money. I can't miss work if I can miss church. All right. Now, if you're sick, you're sick. I got that. But if you go to work sick, then maybe you can go to church sick. Now, well, I spread germs there at church. Well, what happens at work? You follow that? See what I'm saying? So if what keeps you away from church would keep you awake from work, that's legitimate. I got that. But it's as if Sunday is a kind of a rubber day. I'll use it. I'll show up if I can, but I'll tell you what, I'll never miss a day of work because I've got a paycheck coming. Then you're putting money over mammon over the Lord. And we need to find out our priorities. What are our priorities? It'd be nice to try to organize your priorities. If you are involved in things, work especially, that take you away from Sunday worship, how about praying about it? Saying, Lord, I want to honor you on Sunday by being in the house of God and honoring the resurrection of Christ. And so, Lord, will you work things out of my life and my employment so I can be in church on Sunday? Well, what do you think the Lord would say about that? No, I'm not going to help you out there. Of course he's going to help you. Of course he's going to orchestrate some things. And we've had people have answered prayers this and so on. Now, going to church is not a work, but this is where the Lord wants to meet with you. And so you ought to have a desire to be here in the house of God on Sunday. Now, obviously, you folks are here on Wednesday night. Amen. Appreciate that. Those that aren't here may not even be here on Sunday. This is where we are in our scripture study here, but this also goes out on the internet. But this is a concern that we should have, that we want to honor the Lord on Sunday and with being here in the presence. I can remember when we first started our church here, we decided we're going to have an afternoon service. So we get everything, not that we're trying to be overly pragmatic, but we had people traveling here. One or two families took about an hour to get here and so on. So we thought, all right, we'll have Sunday school, morning service, lunch, afternoon service. And so people don't have to come to church, go home, come back, and so on, especially if they're driving distances here. So we've got the place where we enjoyed that. But I can remember first several months after we got our church started here, I felt guilty about not going to church on Sunday night. I really did. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I've been going to church on Sunday night for years and years and years, and now I'm not going. But wait a minute. We're meeting and having the preaching in the afternoon. And so there's nothing sacrosanct about when we meet on Sunday, what times, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night or whatever. The point here is we do meet, and we try to put forth the Word of God. Now, as our focus here is, we try to give you a spiritual diet. So many of you are out in the world with your jobs and so on, and you go 6 days, or you go from Sunday to Sunday, and you're out in the world, and you hear all kinds of filth and everything else and so on. But here's where you're going to get a steady diet of the Word of God, which in the long run, this is how you grow. Just like when you're a younger person growing up and so on, you probably can't remember all the meals your mother made you, but she fixed your regular meals, or you got regular meals anyway, and you grew from being a small child to an adult. Now, you might not remember all the meals, but you were growing, right? Well, likewise, as you get a steady diet of the Word of God, you're growing. Now, you may not know it or recognize it from week to week, but you're growing. Now, as I have looked over our church in the last 10 years and have heard your testimonies and seen your life and so on, I can say, boy, I can remember when so-and-so came here first, and now I think about them and how much they have really grown. I mean, I can see that. I'm thankful for that. Now, it's because the Lord grows us in His Word. Amen. So we need to be in the Word of God and be present when it's going forth and so on. And we try to make Wednesday an oasis between Sunday and Sunday for you as well, where you're going to get steady diet the Word of God. And so to recap here then, Sunday is our day of worship. Now, and we do this because we're commanded to do that, and it honors the Lord and His resurrection. Now, some churches have midweek services on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. These are additional services, and they're meant to help and so on as an oasis. But when we have services here and the Word of God is put forth, then hopefully you've got your schedule so organized that you can make the services. For the Christian has a private life. That's when the Christian studies the Word of God and prays on his own personal devotions, and then extends the family devotion and so on. So Christian has a personal and family life, but they also have a public life. And the public life is where you're going to get the Word of God, and you need both. You need both. And so as you're studying by yourself and you don't have any feedback on your studies of Scripture, you might come up with some conclusions that are not sound. But we trust that not only in your own study, but then in the teaching of the Word of God in a church service, these will balance each other out. You can be instructed in the Word of God so that you're not getting off. I remember one man told me one time years ago, he said, I've learned Greek and Hebrew by myself. I use an interlinear Bible. I study on my own. And so I teach my family at home from my Greek and Hebrew interlinear, and I don't need to go to church. I said, well, you need to go to church. And this is how people get off on their doctrine. On the other hand, if you come to church, hear the Word of God preached and so on, but you never studied out on your own, then it'd be easy for you to be misled. So we have this balance. It's a check and balance that the Lord has given to the local church. It's a check and balance for me. That's a check and balance for you. But we get back to this. So we all need to focus on our priority and prioritize our worship, especially on Sunday, and organize our lives so we can be here to the full extent to hear the Word of God. So we're a new people with a new day. That's Sunday. We're a new people with a new day. That was Saturday. But now we have a new day. And so let's take advantage of what the Lord has provided here. I mean, if we went underground, it might be a life risking things to come to church, as it was in many cases with Anabaptists. We went out to Brother Blair's church. He took us on a tour of that pastor. You remember his name? The pastor's name that we... Corby. What was it?
Corby.
Okay. Corby. So here was a pastor out there in that area years and years ago. And had a church and so on, but it was in Indian Territory. And so every time he and his family went to church, they were at risk of being attacked by Indians. So every time they went to church, there's a life-threatening situation. We might be attacked and killed. And sure enough, one time, they all took off walking across the field, walking to church some distance down there. And he discovered, of all things on that day, he forgot his Bible. So he says, family, you go ahead. And he turned around and went back to the house to pick up his Bible. And in the meantime, the Indians jumped his family and killed him. He's the only one spared. So the point being here, let's take advantage of what we have here and grow in this and grow in the Word of God as we meet on Sundays and Wednesdays. So prioritize our life that this is so important in my Christian life. Because I've found when people don't show up for church, their spiritual life seems to go downhill. I mean, it just seems to work that way. And so when, you know, I think of our own congregation, when people aren't showing up, I can't but assume their spiritual life is diminishing. And I've got to give an account for you. I've got to give an account for you. And so I don't know what you do at home, but I do know what goes on here. And so I've got to give an account for you. And so my goal is so I can give a faithful account to your Christian life that you're growing in the Word of God. And the only way I would know that is when you show up and hear the Word of God and make the church a priority in your life. All right, so I know I'm preaching to the choir basically, but it's for all of us. It's for all of us. And for those that be listening on the internet, and I might repeat this on Sunday, so who knows. So anyway, all right, let's pray. Our Father, we praise you for the time we've had to study the Word of God. We thank you for giving us the truth here concerning the Sabbath and Sunday as well. We praise you, bless us now, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.